Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, chief ministers, red pandas, and eight ball pool. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at imtoday.co.im, I'm joined by news hound Sam Turton.
Hello.
Jess Ward.
Hello.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello. I really liked how Sam did his, like, he held his mug up, like, hello.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
I just wanted to have a drink of tea before I spoke.
And then you took that moment away.
Yeah.
Impactive start to the podcast there, Sam. Right, Jess, good week.
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, I wish I had a bit more sleep, though, because I'm like, nah. I don't know what it is. I think it's just the
I've had
the
really
weather.
Bad sleep this week.
Have you been riding the adrenaline waves since your world championship
semi-final appearance? Oh yeah, it's like the come down after that.
On Saturday.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
I noticed it didn't actually make it, the cup for this week's podcast, but we've got to mention it, haven't it? You were in the world conquer championships on Saturday at Braid, weren't you?
I'm not sure if it was the world.
It was the world.
Okay, it's the world. Yeah. Okay, yes, I was.
Yeah, and
I'd never played conquers before. I'd only played conquers, like, for 20 minutes before a podcast, actually, with Adrian Derbyshire.
Last week's podcast because you were fanning around, yeah.
I was learning. I had to. And it paid off. I got into the semi-finals, and I lost against the overall winner. So, actually, not too bad.
Chuffed?
Yeah, I was chuffed.
Knowing
I mean,
you going back into, like, 12 weeks of trading for next week.
Yeah, I've got to get the heavy
But
training.
I noticed, I read your piece in the Examiner, was it? No, it was in the Courier. It's actually
the Courier.
So we're hitting your doorsteps this weekend. But there was, you said that you couldn't bring your own conquer. You have to draw almost blindly.
So, yeah, I was speaking to Julie Blackburn, who writes our food and farming pages, and she said what they used to do is they used to put it in vinegar so it kind of hardens them. I think Trudy Williamson, our director, said
I think
that too.
We've discussed it before and said it's horrendous cheating.
Yeah, totally. So this kind of just levels the playing field. I mean, you go in, you look at the strings that are coming out of a box, you pick the string rather than the conquer because, I mean, they're all different sizes.
And what was behind your mythology? Methodology.
Well,
close enough.
You got it. Yeah.
Mythology. There's the braid of
syllables and that.
Yeah.
I'd say what I would kind of echo what the winner said. It's all about accuracy rather than power. So just making sure you hit it. A lot of people were kind of they were holding onto the rope. And then they had a loose bit of rope that would hold the conker to the other person's conker, take the conker back, and then flick it. So they had that exact
line of sight.
Yeah. So that seemed to be like a technique a lot of people were using.
And was there any chat about the endangerment of the horse?
No.
Horse chestnut?
There's a horse chestnut tree, isn't it?
No,
none whatsoever.
Well, no one here is
worried about the future of the conker.
I don't think they've
the
got
tree.
To that stage of worrying. Maybe I should have informed them.
It would have ruined their night.
Guys, think about what you're doing.
You know how it's a horse chestnut tree? Is that where chestnuts for Christmas come from as well?
Hang on.
No.
We were going to read up more about this a few weeks ago.
Our knowledge of chestnuts are woeful, really.
No.
Because I've only ever had chestnuts once, and I thought they tasted like jacket potato.
Right.
But they're really nice, anyway.
Have you ever had conker?
No.
I reckon he'd lose a few fillings.
Yeah, I don't think he'd eat them.
If you had one of them, they're pretty tough.
Especially if you've already soaked it in vinegar.
Yeah. Sorry to turn this into MasterChef, but I just want to know. Thanks. Cheers.
Thanks for popping in, Sam. Katie, good week?
Yeah, brilliant week. Yeah. Busy what? In subscriptions.
Really?
Focusing on voucher subscriptions. Right. And, yeah, it's been very busy.
Very busy. What's the latest developments in the vouchers?
New coloured vouchers.
What colour have we gone for this?
We have pink vouchers for the Isle of Man Examiner.
Mm-hmm.
And we have green vouchers for the Manx Independent.
Now, I've heard on the street somewhere, okay.
Which maybe, street?
Well, I heard it on the Glenvine, if I'm being honest. Right, that this, that you, if you subscribe and get the vouchers, is actually less than if you went into the shop every week and paid for it. Every week, doesn't it?
It shouldn't be a secret because it is true.
It's true. How much do you save?
You save 20% over the year.
That's a lot to be saving over the year, isn't it, Sam?
Massive savings, Sam.
Yeah.
Massive savings.
So people are like, I didn't know about this.
Exactly.
They should give you a shout, shouldn't they?
Yes, they should.
And what means? Would you prefer them to contact you?
They can call me on 695 649
mm-hmm.
or they can email at subscriptions at iomtoday.co.im because we have a brand new subscriptions email address.
Oh, yes. I'm going to be signing you up for all sorts.
Such a busy week for subscriptions.
Oh, great stuff. Sam, good week?
Yeah, busy week. Busy week. Yeah.
As ever.
Anything you want to elaborate on, or are you going to leave it?
Joe, you know, I thought I was going to do that, but I thought instead of that, I was going to tell you some of the stories I thought were good this week that we're not going to discuss today.
Okay, go on then.
So on the front page of Independent, you got Julie Blackburn talking about scallop industry.
Right, yes. You were giving this big chat last week, the scallops.
Yeah, they need protecting.
Right. Not,
the industry itself needs protecting from
quotas.
From the evil.
Yeah. Jess has done a piece on the abortion outside abortion protests outside the college, which is a weird place for them to be, but there they were. Mm-hmm. And another thing on the Promenade Regeneration Works and Tim Wald, and a claim that this has been all designed to be done by the next election, so certain people look good.
Right.
That was discussed in Tim Wald this week.
So that was in our...
That's across the week.
The Alaman Examiner and the Magazine Independent, which you can, of course, buy from the newsagent. You can ring Katie up to get a subscription, save yourself 20% over the year. Or you can go online to iomtoday.co.im/something or other.
Subscriptions.
Or
digital editions tab.
And you can have them all on your smart device without having the ink on your fingers. It's all a dream, isn't it?
Oh, but I like that bit.
That's nice holding a newspaper.
Now, it's been a very good week for various reasons. We've discussed the Conkers, we've discussed the amazing news products, we've discussed the subscription voucher colours, and we've also had... the postman has made it rain this week, hasn't he?
It's the Christmas of postcards.
The postman has been run off his feet with postcards for the Alaman News podcast team. We've had how many?
Three!
Yay! Right, so producer Emma has them in her hand. She's going to dish them out one by one. You know, we'll give them... one of them each. So, Jess, you take the first one.
Okay. Boop.
Right, what have you got?
I have got a lovely, colourful postcard from Portugal.
It's
got, I think it's called crema de nata. It's like a pudding.
Pastiche de nata.
Ah, that's what it is.
It's like a little custard tart, but it's like they eat it just constantly in Portugal.
Gorgeous.
Put a bit of cinnamon on top.
Right. It's really, really good.
Okay.
So, this has... I got distracted. It says hello to Sam. So you've got a special...
Hello, Mrs. Kitchener!
Yes, that's who it is.
Spoiler alert.
So it says, hello, podcast team. Having a wonderful time in sunny Portugal. We will catch up on podcast when we get home with a little kiss.
Oh.
Best wishes to you all, Mr. and Mrs. Kitchener. Hello to Sam and a little kiss again.
Now, you may have seen this featured on our Instagram stories earlier in the week, didn't it? With the lovely love heart frame.
I did. She doesn't have Instagram, but I did show her the love heart frame, and she might have done an excited squeal.
Yeah, Katie's mum and dad obviously not have Wi-Fi in the hotel. If they couldn't listen to the podcast while they were away,
they don't play on their phones and stuff on holiday. Oh. They go out and like do stuff.
That's weird.
Yeah, they actually make use of the holidays.
It's all about the free hotel Wi-Fi.
They weren't in a hotel, actually. They were in a villa.
Ooh,
someone's doing well.
That's that courier round paying off, isn't it? Yeah. Right, next one.
Ooh.
So we'll go start with you, Casey.
This is the old pink house in Savannah.
Ooh. Now, ooh. Savannah, for those that are geographically challenged.
Georgia. It's in Georgia.
In Eastern Europe?
No, not that Georgia.
The other one, in America.
The American Georgia.
Okay.
So this was part two, because part one was Emma's from Chicago.
Yes, we had that a few weeks ago.
Hey, podcasters, Savannah here in Savannah, Georgia. We are off for dinner at the old pink house tonight. We can't wait. There's a gorgeous exclamation mark that has a little heart instead of a dot at the bottom. I like that. We have already had an interesting day. Up at 4:30 a.m. in Chicago. Sick Rick failed to pick us up. Girl was laughing at our morning bants in the airport lounge. Turns out it's Natalie Emmanuel from Hollyoaks. Mm-hmm. Over and out, huns. XOXO.
Right. Well, no, Sam, you were nodding quite knowledgeably there. Who is Natalie Emmanuel?
She is actually Missandei from Game of Thrones. She's the one who's like Daenerys' right hand.
I've seen Hollyoaks back in the day.
She was one of the Valentines, Sasha Valentine. Do you remember?
No, that might have been my crossover period. I went back on Neighbours Hardcore for a bit.
Her older brother was the one who went in to be in that Amazon programme.
Oh, I know him. Bobby. No, that's the singer. Bobby Valentine. Slow. That was a good one. Yeah, I know who you mean.
Ricky Whittle, was that his name?
And he was a police officer.
He was?
Yes.
And his little sister went on to be in Game of Thrones in the programme, not in real life.
Why didn't they take, what's his face, the guy that's been it forever?
Tony.
Tony would have been amazing in Game of Thrones, wouldn't
Tony,
he?
Tony, who had Diva.
Pardon?
The cafe, Diva.
Oh, is that what it's called? Of course, because it's Chester. Wow, there's so many things. So, the last postcard, Sam. And it's a very special postcard, isn't it?
This might be one of my favourites, because first of all, it starts off in German.
Oh!
Guten Tag.
Mm-hmm.
But it's regular podcast listener and contributor, Michael Joseph.
There he is with his beard.
Who actually was buying me and Dave from the Footy Podcast Squash Frogs in the Outback last week.
Oh!
You were in the Outback?
I mean, I'm in the Outback all the time.
He's renewed his season ticket.
So he sent us a postcard. So it's just a short note from his... The hills outside Munich. He was walking through the forests while listening to our dulcet tones. This is interesting, Katie.
I know.
All the different accents sound like angels dancing on my drums. Yes, even Katie's.
Aww. Aww.
Katie, I love your voice.
Thanks for the news and the entertainment. Love, Joseph. And what I like about this is it is removed. Now, you people who go abroad and say, I couldn't find a postcard, I couldn't find a postbox.
Or a stamp.
A stamp. It's gone. Because... this was done online.
So we'll explain. The front of the postcard is a picture of Michael hiking in said hills.
I like that. I'm going to start sending people postcards to my face on it. It's a great idea.
Okay. And in the back, this is the killer line, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's been posted from Guernsey.
Yes, but the...
the stamp.
Oh, the stamp has also got his face on it, which I think is great.
Yeah, so his picture is also on the stamp.
Well, I'll try that in Glasgow when I go away in a few weeks.
You're away again. There's a shock. If people want to follow Michael's lead, Katie, how can people email? Email? Well, they can't email their postcard.
What's
the
date today?
The 24th.
This was posted on the 22nd. That's done well today.
Germany. Efficient.
Guernsey.
Guernsey.
Yeah. Efficient. Portugal. Not so efficient.
Jess's has never shown
yeah,
up.
Yeah, mine's gone. Never happening.
But if people want to send us a postcard.
Yeah, you just send it to Isle of Man News Podcast. Isle of Man Newspapers, European House, Peel Road, Douglas, Isle of Man, IM15ED.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, strap you yourselves in. It's time for some news, and we're going to kick off, Sam, with the story about potentially us picking chief ministers.
Yeah, it was Daphne Kane, the Garth MHK, who's looking at this, about whether the island should... directly elect the Chief Minister. At the minute, it's picked just by the MHKs, which was only actually changed in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Before that was the whole of Timbald. So now we've moved to... we're getting closer to democracy every day now, really, mm-hmm. the way I see it. And this is based... she's put forward this idea to say that there's a report out which she wants people to read, put their suggestions forward, see what they think about it, before she actually approaches going to Timbald over us and seeing... maybe it's something they could look at, or maybe not. I know that there's certainly people on both sides of this, just by looking at MHKs on Twitter. There's one who sort of said it's worth looking at, another said it's a presidential system.
Mm.
So I don't know where it's going to go, really. But, I mean, I think there's definitely issues in terms of consent for government and that sort of thing. And you know, one of them things that really annoys you in this job, like little things you hear all the time? For me, it's programme for government, which is justification for anything. Oh, it was voted for, so it's that was the will of the people. I didn't vote for it. You didn't vote for it. You voted for a guy or a woman who picked this and then went, oh, yeah, I support that.
So, do we think it'll make any real difference? Because...
well, I'd rather have... at least if you have somebody who we can say, well, this is what you said you were going to do, why don't you do it? Yeah. As opposed to what we have now, which is I voted for one or two of 24 people and neither of them are in the government. And they're just doing... they're going along with these policies, which I don't agree with as a constituent of theirs. I don't see where I'm being represented. I mean, that's not necessarily how I feel all the time about things, but that's just how I think how people... there's a lot of issues surrounding... I mean, turnout on the island is brilliantly low. Like, they try and say it's big numbers. It's not. It's below 50%.
Like, for a general election.
Yeah, so we've got problems with it. I mean, the government's getting elected by less
and
less
people. But do you not think... just because of what's going on in across and in the wider world, that people are probably more want to vote more now than ever, even if it is in our local general election.
Well,
let's do a quick straw poll. Did everyone vote the last general election here?
I wasn't on the island.
Neither was I.
I voted.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
I think I did vote, but by proxy, because I was over. I was in a different country, but I did vote.
Is there a general election tomorrow here? Would you vote?
Yeah. I think it's important too.
I would.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still registered in the UK as well, so...
does what he wants, votes where he wants. Yeah, but either way, you would vote. So I think people were probably more, if there was a general election tomorrow, you'd probably see an increase in voting.
I don't know. I really don't know. I think there's a real apathy on the island. It's not even just like, it's not like a rare thing. They brought in voting at 16 to try and correct this. And I know this week that the lads up there at Manx Radio, the mandate from Balcomine, they went in there and said to the students there, are you going to vote? And they had people turning around saying, no, we've had politicians in the school who spoke to us like we don't matter. Why are they going to vote? And at the end of the day, the ones in sixth form, without throwing out generalisations, are the ones who are more likely to be engaged in that sort of level because they are still in school, they're not out working. Mm. There's a different time aspect on their hands. And if they're not engaging with it, then there's your next generation of voters slipping away.
So would making this change engage them?
I think there's definitely more, because there's more, the more opportunity you have to see where your country's going, I think the more chance you have of voting in it. I mean, there's the lie that the Brexit referendum was the biggest vote in history. It wasn't. That was in 1992 when John Major won majority. But that's not the point. But people turned out in big numbers because they thought it was a big change they could make and they could vote for. I think if you had the opportunity to lay down for 5 years saying, this is what the Ironman's going to be like for 5 years, and we've picked this person's manifesto to be the person to do it, then crack on. I think you're more likely to get more people to vote for it, as opposed to what happens now, which is where people say it doesn't matter who we vote for because the government is run by civil servants and all the regular stuff you get from the internet. And I don't. I really think it's something that needs looking at.
So what's the time frame with this Chief Minister thing? You've heard there's a report. Daphne Keane's obviously picked it up. What's next?
We'll have to wait and see, to be honest. She's not planning on bringing this to Timwood in the immediate future, and it won't be in place for the next election.
Mm.
So I don't know. We could be looking at this, you know, 8-7 years down the line, 2026 be the next one. So, again, I think that's too late to be doing anything, but Timwood is famously not a quick mover, so I don't know, let's see where it goes. But
so if you want to read more about that, it was in the Independent this week on page 14. Jess, slight change of pace.
Very different.
Now, this actually story broke, I think, not long after we recorded the podcast last week, so people are probably wondering why we didn't mention it in last week's podcast, but it is quite an impressive story,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's a story that's captured a lot of imaginations, actually.
It's about, in a saying, Bert Collins, a jailbreak from the wildlife park, and a red panda called Kush, who has done a disappearing act.
Yes, that's right. So we've got Kush, who is, I believe, 7 years old, if you want that. Like,
how is that in red panda years?
I'm
is
not
that considered
quite sure.
Like a youngling or an old man?
I think he's getting to the older state, but I need
so
to
like
find out.
So like a pensioner.
Don't
break.
Speculate, Jess, if you don't
I'm
know.
I'm so sorry. I don't know that. I will find out for you.
Okay.
But yes, he's seven. So essentially what happened is a branch, it kind of went over the enclosure, it snapped, and he used that as a bridge to make his great escape.
Okay.
Wow.
So, pretty impressive, eh? Yeah. And he's been on the loose since last week. I think it was around
Thursday or Friday, wasn't it?
Yeah,
last tail end.
That's right. And it was just on Monday that he was spotted again, but on CCTV, there was a nature camera set up in someone's private land, which is neighbouring the Currigs Wildlife Park, and they saw him just bustling around, this very bushy red animal walking around the woodland.
It's called red-handed.
Yeah, the red bandit.
So I've got a couple of questions. that's a lie, I've got lots of questions, but the first one is, what do red pandas eat, and can they find them in the local sort of undergrowth or whatever to keep going?
Well, these guys, they use bamboo, and they said that's what kind of attracted it to the camera, but I don't know what the diets consist of.
And what are the wildlife parks saying? Because obviously, infamously, the wallabies have got out of the wildlife park.
Track record,
and
they?
Now they're all over the chippy, you know, they're in Onken, they're all, you know, everywhere. You can't move for wallabies in the north of the island. So is this going to be another wallaby outbreak? Or?
Well, they've said that they're optimistic that Kush will return home. They said that in terms of his enclosure already, they're not going to remove trees with him because red pandas live in the trees. Mm-hmm. They're not going to put a kind of barrier around it because that's just going to, well, it's going to affect you guys being able to see the red pandas. And yeah, that's essentially what they've been saying. So they said he's going to come home. He has been getting closer. They've been leaving food out for him. They've been leaving live traps out too, so they can capture him safely.
And I have this vision in my mind that the Kush is out and about. Has he left someone at home in the wildlife park? Is there a...
Yeah,
there a Mrs.
there is.
Cush waiting for him?
There's not a Mrs. Cush. He has got a girl who is a friend.
Oh.
Not a girlfriend, but a girl who is
he's
a friend.
Been friend-zoned.
They don't want to label it.
Yeah, yeah. But he's living with her, and there is another one who she's living in a different enclosure.
And so they're just left at home pining.
Yeah. Oh, Miss Cush.
So please do get in touch, not with us, but the wildlife park, if you do see Cush. There's pictures, and he's a very photogenic chap.
He is,
he?
Yeah. He is flawless. Mm. I mean, have you seen that photo of him?
So cute. Like Jess,
he is. He's like the Zoolander of red pandas, isn't he?
Yes.
And as our red panda correspondent, have you got like a pager or something? You know.
Yeah, well, I'm in regular contact with the general park manager, who is Kathleen Graham. Mm. So, yeah, she just gives me the details every now and then of where he's last been spotted.
I actually think this is the time to engage our podcast listenership, because we found the pink seagull, didn't we?
Yes.
Quite quickly.
Yes.
Now, I think if we get them to put their mind to it, they can find this red panda by this time next week.
We only like the colourful animals.
Yes.
It looks like.
We don't discriminate, though.
No.
The only issue is, because I had that same initial thought, this coverage will help people go out and look for him. But actually, they don't want that. They said that it will disturb him. And they said that they're trying to close areas off so that way he comes back home himself. Because they're quite shy creatures.
Okay.
So they've closed the butterfly
violent?
Trail. No,
or
they're
dangerous?
Not. They're not dangerous at all. That's what the park has said. They've closed the butterfly trail, so that way it makes it easier for him to come back into his home without any disturbance.
So if you see him, keep your distance, ring the wildlife park.
Yes, that's right.
Tell him where you saw him. Do you want to hear quickly a story about me helping an injured animal this week?
I would
yes,
love to.
Definitely.
Sam doesn't look.
Yeah,
so I went home from lunch the other day, Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, I can't remember which day it was, and there was a pigeon sat in our front yard.
Oh, God.
And I thought, that's strange. They don't usually have pigeons in our front yard, but there you go, just left him. But I had my sandwich, went upstairs, saw the wife, said, Beck, you know, there's a pigeon in the front yard. She's like, oh, yeah, he's been there a while now. I said, they're usually a bit more flighty than that. I think we maybe need to investigate this further. And she went, oh, crack on, I'm busy. So I went downstairs, had my sandwich, went out and saw the pigeon. And the pigeon was surrounded by feathers. And
had it been attacked?
I think it might have been.
Do you think it was the cat in the tie?
No. And I'm not... don't bad mouth this cat. I've not seen him since, anyway. But anyway, so the pigeon was just sat in the yard. And I looked, and he was sort of scraping one
of his wings.
Wings down. And I thought, oh, Egg, he's in need of help here. So I thought, what am I going to do? So I thought, right, I know what I'll do. I'll ring the fella from Instagram that works at the MSPCA.
Oh, Liam.
He'll help me. So I rang him. He went, can't help you today, mate. And I said, what am I going to do with him? I can't leave him here. The cat's having for tea. You know, because we have got a lot of cats in our area. It'd be like, it'd be horrendous. It'd be a bloodbath. It'd be horrible. Come home and just be feathers everywhere. And so I said, well, what am I going to do? So he goes, if you take him to a vet, they're obliged to see him. And I said, what do you mean obliged to see him? You know, he's not... he can't ask for himself. And they said, no, it's like, you know...
It's like when they take the Hippocratic Oath,
yeah,
like doctors.
But for the vets, they have an understanding that they will see injured wildlife for free. So I said, right, how do you suggest to catch him? And he said, well, I don't know, you should put him in a box and take him. So I was like, right, okay. So I've set the scene. There's this pigeon, she can hardly move.
She?
Oh, he.
Okay.
I don't know. I couldn't sex it. I didn't get that close to it. So it was there, and I found an Amazon box, other cardboard boxes are available, and I put a couple of things in the lid because I thought I don't want it suffocating on the way to the...
Yeah.
That would be...
Air
you know,
holes.
Yeah, air holes, that'll do. So then I was like, I need some gloves because it might... I've heard that they have lots of diseases, and I thought... Oh. So I thought, right, I could only find one glove. I was like, can't go out like Michael Jackson. That would just look ridiculous. So I found an old towel. So I thought, this will be handy. Get the towel, throw the towel on the pigeon, get him in the box. Job's good, and take him to the vets. He was quite quick manoeuvring. So he got away from me.
I know.
So then he started, he was playing in the traffic. So can you
then
imagine?
You went out there.
I'm like trying to
throw a towel
over a pigeon. Then I got my... like heavily pregnant wife to come and help me because that was so she is quite big at the moment, and I gave her a stick and I said, right, push him towards the box with me, right, and So she comes out and she starts, she's like, this is ridiculous. I can't bend over. You're an idiot. And I said, no, come on. We've got to do this for this pigeon. She's like, he's fine. He's moving. I said, he's not moving. Look. So anyway, he went under this car. So I had to go under the car and push him out.
It's like when your football gets stuck.
Yeah,
under
it was exactly like
yes,
that.
Yes,
so I got him out from under the car. Then he went in the neighbour's garden. And got, so apologise. I had to sort of rummage through their bushes for a bit. Then got him back out. And he came back into our garden. So we had a large dick. And I managed to manoeuvre him into the box. And then I was like, what do I do now? Because he's in, sort of in the box. But the
but
box was the box was
over.
On its side. Oh. So I was like, God. So Beck's like, just turn it. So I just went, poof. And then I'd thrown the towel on him, so I couldn't even see if he was all right at that point. So then I tried to tape the top because I didn't want him flying out when I'm in the car.
That would be terrifying. Could
you imagine that? You'd crash.
So I did that.
You'd be writing about you in the paper.
But the tape wasn't really working.
The headline would be amazing for that.
So cut a long story short, because I can see Sam's dropping off here. I took it to the took him to the vet. They took my name and address, and I don't know what's happened to him.
But... Oh. Do you think they think, why has Andy Dalrymple come in with a dead pigeon in a towel in a box?
I told them they could keep the towel in the box. I didn't want them back. That's fine.
Like burn that.
Yeah.
Don't
so,
want to coming back home.
Yeah. So yeah, that was my exciting... But it took... Probably should have been about a 3-minute job. It took me 25 minutes to round up a heavily disabled pigeon.
That is an incredible story.
Incredible or not so incredible.
I'm surprised we haven't heard about it this week.
Yeah.
How have you
been really
kept that
quiet
to yourself?
I thought it would be good exclusive for the podcast.
Oh, no. Producer Emma has just pointed out it was the beginning of the week and you don't speak to us until after Wednesday.
No, because I'm busy. Unlike you know, Shylock's in the distribution. Just fanning around different coloured vouchers.
People need their news at a 20% discount.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, moving on. Sports story of the week is not about racing pigeons, but is in fact about pool, Sam. There's something we've talked about this week, isn't it? And now, pool. There's different forms of pool. Mm-hmm. And the IPA, which is the International Pool Players Association, it should be IPPA, but I think it's IPA, are coming to the Isle of Man. Their final event of this year's World Tour is in the Isle of Man this weekend in the Palace Hotel and Casino. There are 25 locals in the entry. I think only one in the pro class, most are in the open class, including Rob Collister, MHK for Onken. The pro is Dave Adnall, who's the Isle of Man's sole pool player.
Pool player.
Now, this is like, you know when the darts comes, and we had the chess last week, which you featured in the Courier this week, haven't you?
And in the Independent.
Yeah. This is one of those where I think I could have a go at this in pool.
You like to think so, don't you?
I play some amazing pool after about four pints.
But is it a sport?
Yeah.
I don't see it as a sport.
Why not?
Because you're not really exerting yourself.
But it's a lot
mentally,
of skill.
I suppose there's tactics involved. Do they call chess a sport? I feel like those two have...
Yes. Chess is a sport.
It's in the Olympics.
Yeah. No way. Chess is not in the Olympics.
It's going in there.
Is it?
It's going in the Tokyo Olympics. I'm sure I've read that.
That's just not a
sport.
At the
very least, it's being considered for it.
You're making stuff
but
up.
But what do you consider a sport? Does it have to be purely
to
a
be
physical exertion?
Mm. Yeah.
Because people can run marathons and they do it in like 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever the new record was.
Mm-hmm. Just under 1 hour 59.
Was it?
Yeah.
But I'm a bit dubious about that because I reckon if I had loads of the world's best pacemakers and was sat in behind a truck, I could run a marathon in 2 hours.
Well, yeah.
Okay. So if you were being chased
by
someone.
Get me the bin lorry. And
what's your favourite food?
What's my favourite food?
Yeah, put that like, have that hanging over your
head. Oh, right. I thought you were just asking me. I don't know if it would work with chips, cheese and curry sauce. I think it would be...
Yeah,
splash
dip
all
over
your faces going on.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be amazing. Get to the water station. I don't think it would be refreshing, though. But yeah, so the pool tournament is on this weekend. It's free entry for all spectators. There's there's news on it in the Courier, the Examiner and the Independent this week. We're going to have a photographer there someday,
yeah,
Sam,
yeah,
over the weekend.
It does also technically mean that the champion, world pool champion, is going to be crowned on the Isle of Man.
Yeah, and it's all live on BBC Sports website.
Yeah, BBC, they dropped the red button, haven't they? They dropped
the
red button.
They
the red button's going.
Oh,
I mean, I remember the days of CFAX when you had to
302.
Get them 316 for your sport on a Saturday afternoon.
Bamboozle, Channel 4.
Yeah. Loved it. There we go. So, yeah, that's
me a holiday.
It's going to all be online on BBC Sport.
And, of course, and there'll be a coverage in next week's papers, no doubt, as well. So please do have a look at that. Right, we propel ourselves back in history, Samuel, to Saturday, October 23rd, 1954, on the front page of the Isleman Weekly Times of that week. There is tons of news on this. Where are we going to kick off?
It's going to have to be the pigs.
Yes.
I thought you might start with the pigs.
It was a timbaled decision to spend £25,000 to get rid of Manx pigs.
What?
We had too many.
Too many pigs.
Too many pigs.
Anyway.
What is that?
I don't know. So they paid 25 grand in compensation, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They were making deficiency payments, yeah, to cover the loss of earnings. What I do like is further down, actually, in the story, where it was in the middle of at this time there was a bit of an issue between Manx and English farmers,
right?
And Manx food, and it was the comment that Manx pigs are foreign. That's how they referred to in England, which is also interesting because they don't even say Britain; they say England.
Mm.
So, yes, there was the pig story.
Like the story that was about road racing in the South, and that was what we've turned out to be the Southern Hundred was being proposed. So the following July, we were into this from pages from 1954. The following July, 1955, the first 100 took place, and this was the initial plans being passed before the local authorities in the south of the island.
Mm.
And there's some lovely quotes, including ones from George Castaigne, who says, "Road racing certainly draws the crowds to Douglas. It might be a good idea to follow this up."
And what's 65 years later? Look how right he was.
Yeah, so 100 is still cracking on nicely.
I've just misread a story as unemployed chairman resigns.
That's what I thought.
But on closer inspection, he is the chairman of the unemployment committee who has resigned.
Ironically, adding to the unemployment figures.
Yes.
Talking of figures, Jess, you see the story about the air figures for the year have gone up?
Where are you looking? Oh, the year. Oh, I see. You're trying to pronounce it like I do. Yeah. So, this one is talking about arrivals at Ronald Way Airport. The figures were pretty good by the looks of it.
Well, it says in big letters.
Oh, it just said increase of 442 in September.
Okay, yeah. So that there was 6,721, exceeding the 1953 figure of 6,279. How many do we get a month now, Sam? Do you know off the top of your head? You're a resident transport buff.
I don't know.
I'm surprised you're not at Ronald's Way all day, just counting people coming and going. to be honest. Sorry, Sam.
We've got our usual raft of... Do you see the wills being settled on the front page?
Yeah, I like that.
In the middle of the front page, Kate says £26,000 estate, where it's just detailing the will and last testament of a few people there. Which, can you imagine if we did that these days?
No.
Mr. Joe Moore, the well-known grocer, ex-footballer and past president of the Referees Society... And former chairman of the Debating Society.
He's not dead. No, he's going for the town council elections. That's a different story. And then, before we look at the adverts, did you see the voice, Jess?
Down here with the photograph of RSM Britain, of the Coldstream Guards.
Yeah.
He was the most powerful voice in the British Army. Will be at the Alamein reunion at Laxey.
There you go. Imagine. I wonder how powerful his voice was.
Yeah.
Must have been booming.
Turn around a fleet.
Foghorn.
It's Katie, your favourite advert this week?
Wedding rings, but they're only made for happy couples.
Not sad one.
Yeah.
I quite like the HMV television, what the Hinton plan means, accredited dealer. So obviously when HMV was still knocking out televisions, free aerial installation, free valves, free tubes, free repairs. For 2 years.
Yeah.
Any other adverts caught your eye this week?
Hotel Sefton, still in the left corner.
Still going strong.
I think realistically, these Dusty Cartoon is back, which I do like a good Dusty Cartoon. I actually get this one.
Okay, go on in.
Which is good. You've got three pigs holding up what is the taxpayer as Timwell Gas Station, emptying the National Till, with a little boat saying, "Get away, look out, England, here we come." And it's a gentleman saying to the police officer, why don't you arrest them, officer, before they can get me to make their getaway? The officer says, that's what we want them to do, make their getaway.
And this relates to the story earlier on about a surplus of pigs.
Yep. I also like this photo at the bottom. It's very creative in its title. Men and rope. It's just a guy with some rope.
That's an award-winning photo
as
well.
It is, yeah.
It won the winner of Class 4 in the photographic competition. The picture was taken by Mr. Mark Barnett, 8 Savile Drive, Leeds, on board the Snaefell when the ship was dropping anchor at Douglas. Now, of course, we still, to this very day in the Courier, have the Isle of Man Photographic Society pictures out in every
that's right.
once a month or every other week, something like that.
Yeah. It's quite regular. Mm. But it's, yeah, I mean...
Man and rope.
GDPR would be going crazy over this. I mean, you've got the guys...
It's alright, he lives in Leeds. Doesn't really count. Maxwell of the week, Katie?
Okay, so last week was quite an easy one. Tamag. You've actually said this word today, what it means, because you were rustling around in the tamags before.
I was, in my neighbour's tamags.
Yeah. So it means bush.
It does, yeah.
Wow.
So from your pigeon adventures.
Yeah. Tell you, I've got a newfound respect for Dick Dastardly after Monday.
After trying to catch that pigeon.
Yeah. Is it stop or catch the pigeon?
Catch the pigeon. Catch the pigeon.
Stop the pigeon.
You can put any one-syllable word in there,
catch
really.
Catch sounds
cook
more
the
like
pigeon.
I think it was catch the pigeon,
take the pigeon
at the start,
to the vet.
And then at the end of the song, it goes, stop that pigeon now.
So both.
I think it had both in it.
We'll have to Google that when we get out of here. So that was last week, so it's Tamag, wasn't it?
Yep.
This week.
Super easy.
Yeah. Muck.
Yep.
Jess?
I'd pronounce it differently.
Of course you would.
Muck.
Oh, sorry?
Muck.
Return of the Mac. Katie?
Muck.
Mook.
Mook.
Like book.
Mook is in book.
Does anyone know what it means?
Muck.
No.
No.
Pigeon.
No.
Pigeon.
Pigeon.
Mud.
No.
No, this was, isn't that what...
Oh, did you say that?
I said muck.
Pando?
No, he said mud, sorry.
Red.
The word is muck. It's not panda or red.
Okay. Well, let's hear how Culture Van and team say it now.
Muck.
Right, well, I think we were all pretty much Bob on the money there, weren't we? So if you want to find out what muck means, tune into next week's podcast as always.
And it's been said several times in today's podcast.
Oh, there's your clue.
Yeah.
Oh. It's like a countdown teaser, isn't it? Right, so Anglo phrases of the week.
My
favourite. These are always a highlight in my week.
So we did the ease last week, and we had Elba, which was like a relationship, and we had an eork, or irk, which a drinking horn.
Drinking horn.
So this week we have moved on, like, alphabetically to the Fs. Mm-hmm. Sam, would you like to try your Manx accent for us?
I would have loved to, but you just put your script over mine.
I want to move the
breaking
paper,
the fourth wall here, people.
But I'm scared producer Emma will shout because of rustling. Wait.
Anyway. Figari. Here, Garrick.
This is where you don't take a breath between words.
He'll get a cooling, yet for all these figaries and capers of his.
That was brilliant.
Figari. So it's basically to be like antics or foolishness.
Thank you.
I quite like that one. Yeah. Figari.
Yeah.
Okay, right, next one.
Flidding.
Flidding.
Which is flirting. She's doing nothing but flidding and flambering about.
I can imagine what he's saying, something like that.
Flambering is an unbelievable word as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
So these are the two words we have to try and crowbar into our conversations in the next few weeks. I think few days.
Stop flidding around.
Are you still using Clish Clash?
What's the Clish Clash?
Oh,
Sharif
don't
like
use
it.
That yet.
The Clish Clash is gossip. Remember?
Yes, because he was a Clish Clash girl.
Yeah.
And Clicky was crazy.
Crazy, yeah.
Dressed up to Dick.
Dressed up to Dick, one of our favourites.
Looking suave.
And we were quite disappointed because we got a distinct lack of Dick pics that week, didn't we?
I've not seen one of our listeners looking Dick in a picture.
Which is
disappointment.
So please do remember to send your Dick pics in. And we use these new terms we're teaching you in everyday life because we're trying to bring it back, aren't we?
Bring it back.
Yeah. Like Maloko once said.
Sam will be flidden on Friday for his shots at the Outback.
That's where I'm a click-clack girl.
That's where he gets most of his click-clack. Right, Jess, what's coming up this next week?
Yeah, so I'm working on a few pieces. One of them is... I mentioned on the podcast quite a while back about this Fiddo Fellas calendar. It's a gym up in the north, and they're doing their kind of calendar where they kind of pose semi-naked, I think, anyway. And they're basically releasing it this weekend, and people are able to purchase that, and the money goes towards Nassim's brain tumour charity. Apart from that, my Conkers piece is coming out in the Courier, and I've also got my Vox Pops, which was about cybersecurity and how safe do you feel when you go online doing your shopping and social media? Do you even think about it? Did you ever get taught about it in school? That sort of thing.
Mm. The only thing I was talking about was the Norton antivirus system, which I think is quite ironic considering how ill our Dave Norton is. Okay. Katie, have you got much coming up this week?
All subscriptions all the time for me at the moment.
Oh, the vouchers. What colour? Randy again? Pink, was it?
Pink for the Examiner, green for the Independent. That had changed from their previous blue and yellow.
So are people worried that they might be running out? Is this a yearly thing? Do they change on the 1st of January or...?
No, they just change. When they just change.
On a whim?
No, this is the... They always alter, but in maybe more subtle ways, like a border or a change in font. We've gone for colour this time.
The week must fly by for you guys.
I hadn't even told you about my times driving the van this week. Oh. That's been the other highlight.
You didn't hit a pigeon, did you?
No.
Right, we'll put a pin in that one and bring that back up next week. Sam, much coming up this week?
Yeah, loads.
Right.
Topless calendar I recently starred in is going to come out on sale on Saturday. yeah, lads. Oh, actually, now I've got an interview with Jan Wozniak from Freedom Travel.
Yes.
He's back. Jan is back after the collapse of Thomas Cook and everything that's gone on there. He's back, he's open for business, and there's light at the tunnel. He's happy, he's back.
So, what's that in the Examiner?
I'll be in the Examiner, yeah. And I've been speaking to a gentleman called Neil, who's just retired from the RNLI after 49 years.
That's a flipping
long term. He missed out on the 50th because he wasn't allowed to stay for next year because he's too old.
Aww.
He's gutted about that, actually. But,
So yeah. That in the Examiner as well?
Yeah, and pictures of his leave and do with the Governor, the Chief Minister, family, friends, all that sort
and
of
stuff. And which boathouse was he
in? Douglas.
Okay, so you can read him all about that in the Examiner, of course. Right, that's about it for this week. It's been a bit of an odd podcast, but I'm sure you agree they all are. If you want to get in touch, please do on social media at IOM News Podcast. As Katie keeps saying, please do click on the digital editions on iomtoday.co.im if you want to read any of our papers from the past week. How long are they up there? Are they up there for a while?
They're up there for years.
Years?
Years. You can get them from a few years back.
Get a deep cut all the way back. Right, okay. Yeah. There we go. Maybe not 1954 Ireland Weekly
Times. No, they've been up since this digital platform was set up.
Okay.
So we're talking about 2 to 3 years coverage.
Ooh. Sam is a gosh.
Special supplements and inserts are also uploaded. Ooh. So you can, if you feel like you missed out on the last destination IOM, it's up there.
Mind blown emoji. Right, that's about it for this week. Until next week.
Bye for now.